I would like this afternoon to take up the subject of knowing the Father. The Lord Jesus came down for the purpose of showing us the Father. He had no other desire. He had enjoyed an eternity past in the Father's bosom. And he came down to share his enjoyment and to share the glory of the Father. And he did it in his own person. The Lord Jesus was the expressed image. And so have this little time this afternoon, I'd like to turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John is the book that teaches us about eternal life. And eternal life is in the Father. And so as we take up this book, it's really, I think it's very helpful for us to just read verse 2 of chapter 1. It says, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life." And so I've enjoyed for some time now that 1 John is really the revelation of what eternal life is. And so if we come to know the truth that the Lord Jesus brought to us in just coming in person, we will come to know the Father that way. The Word of God is here for us to know him. And so I would like to take up the Father's heart. And so I'd like to turn to the second chapter of 1 John, and we're going to read just a little section. Let's start at verse 13 of the second chapter of 1 John. "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come, even now. Are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time? They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they'd have no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Father, the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, we know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I always enjoyed this passage of scripture because it addresses different levels of spiritual understanding and maturity. You know, as we all sit here with our Bibles open, we probably have some younger believers, maybe some children that might be listening. And, you know, as a father looks on his children, he doesn't see everyone at the same stage of growth, and neither does God, our Father, see us each at the same stage of growth. And he does not give us the same instruction. He doesn't give instruction that necessarily is suited for one stage of development. He doesn't give that instruction to another stage of development. And so if we were to look at this, we would find that the first stage of development is the Father's. In other words, there's a level of spiritual maturity in which they know him that is from the beginning. They have an understanding of the person of Christ. They have an understanding of the one who came to display what eternal life is. And so they've grown in their level of maturity to have an appreciation and an understanding, and their life would reflect that spiritual growth in which they have received by enjoying fellowship with Christ and having been instructed by the Spirit of God. And then the next stage of growth is the young man. And the young man, it would almost be better if we would develop it, the thought from the child. It says of the child that he knows the Father. So what is the first stage of growth characterized by? It's characterized by knowing the Father. And that's a wonderful experience. You know, as I share these thoughts, I think about us as fathers, as we are given responsibility to bring children into this world and raise them for the glory of God. There's a lot of instruction that we need, and there's a lot of help by knowing God as our Father. And I think that this afternoon we're going to share a few thoughts that it would encourage us as to the character of God, our Father. But the little children, they have known. They already know. One of the first thing that a child learns is in their development is they have a father. My son just my son's wife just gave birth to another child just a couple days ago. And so he's a father for the second time. And that child, one of the first things that he will come to understand is the nature of his father. And he will, if that father has any characteristics that are similar to the heart of God, our Father, that child will grow up in an atmosphere where there will be blessing. And so it's so good for us to come to know the Father, but we do that. That's the first stage of spiritual development in the life of a new believer, is to know the Father. And so We come to know the Father by coming to know the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus, he displayed the Father in perfection. And so the young man, we're back to the young man now. The young man is to be careful about one thing. You know, there's been a certain amount of development in this, at this stage. There's been an impact that has taken place in a person's life where the Word of God has begun to have meaning. It's begun to have brought a change. There's more evidence of that divine life, and through this stage of development, there is a certain degree in which this stage of development gives deliverance over the power of, it says, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So the effect of the word of God at this stage of development brings a measure of deliverance from the attempts of the wicked one to turn us aside. But there's a warning here. God puts out a warning to this individual in this stage of development, and that is to love not the world. Because if we love the world, we'll lose the enjoyment of the love of the Father, because the Father has no fellowship with the world. And if we find our fellowship with the world, we will lose our enjoyment of fellowship with the Father. You know, I've thought of this way. If the young child had truly come to know the love of the Father, when he gets to that age, that stage of development where the world, the enemy is going to try to use the world, he'll think twice about getting influenced by the world, because he will lose that which he has come to appreciate of the love of the Father. You know, I want to give a little illustration. I worked with a man who was raised in at least a professing Christian home. And we would sit and talk at lunchtime, and he showed no signs of being a believer. But he did say, every time I walked out the door to go spend time with my friends, my mom would tell me, love not the world. And you know, that was probably good advice. But the question that I would ask, because there was no sign that the first stage of development had taken place, and that is that he had been introduced to the love of the Father. You know, we can't take these instructions and turn them around backwards and expect blessing. We must be influential in the lives of our children, not just our children, but our spiritual children, that our influence would be to introduce them to the Father. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He introduced John to the Father. And John is here introducing us to the Father. And so the young man that leaves the fellowship of the Father for the world maybe never appreciated the Father's fellowship to begin with. And so I just say this because I want to just put out a little warning to us. If we try to promote spiritual growth without setting the Father before the young, it will not have good results. And I just throw that out as a thought that this is really not where I'm wanting to go with our subject. I'd like to go on to the little children, because the instruction to the young man isn't the same as the instruction to the little children. In fact, I don't really see an exhortation to the little children in the rest of this chapter. I see that God is presented to the little child as a provider. He's presented as a provider. God the Father is presented as the provider. So as we read this verse 18, this is instruction to the little children. It says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Or if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. It says in this next verse is so beautiful. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And so here is the introduction of the Spirit of God. Where did the Spirit of God come from? Well, if we were to turn to John 14, we would find that the Spirit of God came from the heart of the Lord Jesus, as it were. The thought of sending the Spirit of God came from the heart of the Lord Jesus. And what did he do? He begged the Father that he would send another comforter. The Lord Jesus loved his disciples so much, and we are loved so much, that the Lord Jesus knew we would never get along in this world, in our new life, that divine life which we have, without divine energy and without a divine instructor. And so, to me, what we have here, to this message to the little children, is I am God, your Father provider. I know what you have need of. I know that you need someone who can give you the ability to tell truth from error. I know that you are in a environment where there is an enemy that opposes your growth and blessing. And as God, your Father, and so the Lord Jesus, he asks the Father to send the Spirit of God. And what did the Father do? He sent the Spirit of God. And so in this instruction that we have to the little children, as we see, it's different. It's different than it was to the young man. The Father knew that they needed to understand that he had sent the Spirit to give them the ability to combat the force of evil in the, you might say, in the spirit of Antichrist and the lie which the enemy was going to present to these children. And so this is the heart of God. This is the heart of our Father, who would take a young child in early stage of development, and he would say, I am providing everything that you need. I have given you the ability through my Spirit to be able to detect that which is going to definitely come to try to turn you away from the enjoyment and the fellowship of Christ. And so as it goes on, it speaks of the anointing. You know, the anointing is again a picture, or it is an expression of the Spirit of God who, as it were, is shed abroad upon us as a provision. It says, but the same anointing teacheth you all things and is truth and no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And so here we have the Spirit of God, God's, the Father's provision for his children as the instructor. So we have the Spirit of God given to us to help, as a, you might say, to help us detect the spirit of error. That we have the Spirit of God as God's, the Father's provision for his children, so that we might be taught. He's the instructor. And the result of his instruction is that at the end of the verse, ye shall abide in him. Ye shall abide in him. Now, it seems as though we've switched from the subject being the Spirit of God to the subject being Christ abiding in him. But that's the effect of the Spirit of God in our life. The Spirit of God will bring us into the enjoyment of Christ. Spirit of God was not sent to make something of himself. The Spirit of God was sent to bring us into the enjoyment of Christ. And he brings us to the very point where we would abide in him. And so the effect of this will be that we'll be ready for his appearing. You know, there's coming a time when the Lord Jesus is going to set up his throne. He's going to reign as God gives him that place of preeminence, that we are going to have that place of honor with him. And we're going to reign with him. And if we allow God, as it were, we enjoy him as our Father. If we enjoy the provisions which our Father gave us in the Spirit, Spirit of God will unite us with Christ. We will abide in him. And then what will just happen is we'll be ready for his appearing. It'll be the work of the Spirit of God. As we read the Word of God, it'll be his work. But the effect will be, the result, we'll be ready for his appearing. Well, I just share these few thoughts as I took up this subject in my mind. I probably asked myself several times if I could really speak on the subject of God, my Father. I feel like I know so little, but he would have it, wouldn't he? So let's just commit ourselves to the Lord. Father, we just want to thank you that we could be here together speaking of your wonderful care for us. Father, we think of those in this little chat And some of them may be just enjoying the person of the Lord Jesus, that eternal life, which was from the beginning. And they don't need any instruction, because Christ is their all. He's their object. And then there might be those who are young, and maybe they have, in their stage of spiritual development, the Word of God has begun to have an impact on the inroads of the wicked one. And for them, Father, we think of how they need to cherish the love of the Father, so that the Father won't lose their fellowship and they won't lose His. And then, Father, we think of the young child in spiritual development who has come to know a Father who has provided for them in such an amazing way. They don't have to feel like they're not taken care of spiritually, because they're reminded of the indwelling and the gift of the Spirit of God. And we thank You, Father, that the Spirit of God would direct us to be those who would abide in Christ. And that would make us to be ready and looking for our Lord's coming. And so we just ask that You will take these few thoughts, bless them to every heart, the heart of the speaker as well. So we give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, thank you.